Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2, WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. On a Monday night, we come to you. We're on remote tonight. Big Jim Free Crawford is our engineer. We're at the University of Miami. We're on campus of the University of Miami. We're at the Rathskeller on campus. We got a big selection show party here for the University of Miami women's basketball team. And we've got a nice crowd that is arriving here at the Rats. They're all excited. They're dressed in orange and green. They're here for a big celebration of University of Miami women's basketball. And we're going to talk all about that between now and 8 o'clock. We have a couple of other items also. We're going to talk football here in the first half hour. Spring football starts tomorrow, so we're going to talk football in the first half hour. However, let me get to the women's basketball situation here for a moment. All across the country, they have selection parties all set, watch parties all set to go. Drama from Coral Gables to Portland, Oregon. And all places in between. And somebody at ESPN hit the wrong button at about 4:30 this afternoon and released the entire bracket. Oops, it's a surprise party where they yelled surprise early. So everybody knows what the bracket looks like. And now ESPN is scrambling because the selection show is scheduled for 7 o'clock. Yet, they went into, emergency desperation mode and aired a show at 5 o'clock, only to say they're going to also come back on at 7 o'clock. And, oh, by the way, can all of you people still have your selection party so we can get the reaction, even though we've already thrown the confetti and yelled surprise? Or, this is much like the Olympics, when the Olympics are held like in Russia or China, and the gold medal for ice skating takes place at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or the downhill, and everybody knows the result, and then when the news comes on, you say, spoiler alert, if you don't want to know, look away. So I'm not exactly sure if we're going to have a spoiler alert. We're going to tell you what happened. I suspect we might still have a loud ovation here because there are a lot of people here at the Rat. Katie Meyer is going to be with us in about 40 minutes, but she already knows what's happening. So if you don't want to know, I do not suggest change the channel. Maybe just turn it down or something. But we're going to tell you what happened. And what has happened is this. The University of Miami, for the second time in 3 years, is going to host the NCAA regional tournament for women's basketball at the Watsco Center. They're going to play on Friday, and if they win, they're going to play on Sunday. The other teams that will be involved here in Coral Gables will be Central Florida and Arizona State and Florida Gulf Coast. UCF and Arizona State will begin the tournament, which is the Portland Regional, and UCF and Arizona State will play at 7 o'clock. Miami is the number 4 seed, They'll play FGCU at approximately 9 o'clock, but probably more like 9:30, since the first game's at 7 o'clock. It'll be a very exciting night on campus because baseball's playing North Carolina State at 7 o'clock. So we have women's basketball for you at 9 o'clock, well, 7 o'clock on Friday, UCF and Arizona State. Then Miami and Florida Gulf Coast will follow at 9 p.m. or shortly thereafter. Miami is 24-8, and Florida Gulf Coast is like the other way around, 28-4. So that's your matchup on Friday. And we'll give you more information on ticket prices and all that stuff as the evening unfolds. Katie Meyer will be with us, and that will be Friday. Miami and Florida Gulf Coast, 9 o'clock. UCF and Arizona State at 7 o'clock. The winners will play at a time to be announced on Sunday. Now, if you win that one, you get on the Big Bird and you go to Portland, Oregon. The number one seeds are Baylor, Notre Dame, Louisville, and Mississippi State. And Miami beat two of the number one seeds, Notre Dame and Louisville. All right, so that gets you up to date on women's basketball and the surprise that isn't anymore because ESPN released it early. All right, Joe Zgacki, Jim Tree Crawford is our engineer. Joining us right now, University of Miami wide receiver K.J. Osborne, new University of Miami wide receiver, out of the transfer portal. Voila, he's here. K.J., welcome to Miami.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Spring football starts this week, so I know you're excited about that. What made the University of Miami so attractive for you as a grad transfer?
I think because the process, it goes, you know, kind of fast. You know, the recruiting process is about, you know, trusting your coaches and things like that. And Coach Cooney, I'll see him as he walks in now. Coach Cooney, I got really close with him in a very, you know, short amount of time when Coach Ricks ended up retiring. And then, like I've been saying, from Coach Diaz's first interview, like, you know, when he came in, I loved his energy, his vision, what he had, like, you know, for the program. You know, the new Miami, you know, what he wanted to bring back and, you know, things that were going to change. And I was talking to guys like DJ Dallas, Mike Harley. I went to high school with Scott Patchett, Tyree, St. Louis. And I was just talking to those guys, you know, and I was just kind of getting a feel for the program and the guys in the locker room, you know. And they were really disappointed with their last season. And these guys, they've been ready to work. And, you know, I feel like, you know, it was a good fit. You know, I can come in, you know, help some of the young guys be a leader. It was a good fit for myself, and you know, I felt good about it. Yeah,
I've known you now for 30 seconds, yeah. Right? We yeah. haven't met before.
Yes, sir.
And I've been waving the flag here for the University of Miami to get older.
Yes, got
to get older. It's just so much attrition,
right?
And they lose so many players after their junior year. You're older. Why do you think that's going to benefit not only you, but also the University of Miami?
It's going to benefit a lot, just in the locker room. And when I first got here, you know, they were telling me, you know, and before I got here, they were telling me that we were really young. And I kind of knew it, but then as I, you know, started to learn guys and names, I'm like, wow, this guy's only 18 years old. This guy's only 19 years old. You know, like, make me feel kind of old. Like, they tell me I'm the old head in the room now. So it's kind of funny because I've never been the old head. But just my experience from playing college football, and that's what I've told some of the guys, like, you know, we're talented. You know, these guys, they're very talented, and when you get out there, you want to, you know, play fast and just play, you know, to your potential, you know, what your ability is. And a lot of that, I feel like, comes with experience and with confidence. And when these guys get out there and experience, and, you know, so they can play fast, you know, like, you know, to their potential, you know, what their abilities they can be, they're going to be special. And I feel like I can help with that, you know, like I said, just experience. I feel like college football is all about confidence. That's from my experience when I was a freshman to sophomore to junior. You know, I wasn't out there nervous anymore, afraid to mess up. You know, I was just out there playing like you feel like in practice. So that's what I feel like I can bring to them guys and, you know, just help them along the way, like along with hard work, you know, watching film, special teams, like anything.
You walked right into my wheelhouse because, again, you mentioned young guys. Last year, it's so hard to explain, but sometimes people look at that recruiting process and say, okay, you lose a Mark Walton, for example. Mm-hmm. Okay, but then, oh, you replace him with Lorenzo Lingard.
Right.
Okay, great. Going to be a great player.
Right.
Nice kid, going to be a great player. You've lost a 21- or 22-year-old player who's been through it.
Right.
And replacing him with an 18-year-old, Last year we had DJ Scaife at right tackle, 18 or 19 years old, in the game against Boston College, going up against Zach Smith, who's a fifth-year, you know, he's a man. There's a difference between a 22-year-old, 23-year-old, and an 18-year-old.
Right, it is. It is.
Right?
Yeah, and it definitely. You know, and Coach Diaz talked about it before one of our mat drills. He was asking guys around. He was like, you know, do you feel like – he was asking some of the young guys, and he asked them. He was like, do you feel like, you know, you couldn't play out there, or they're just so much bigger than you or so much faster than you? No, not necessarily, but, you know, like I said, technique, experience, or just stuff you can't learn from not being on the field, things like that. So, yeah, it definitely makes a big difference. But these guys, they've been working, though, to working the young guys to get around the curve, and we're going to get going.
KJ Osborne is our guest. Spring football starts this week. What do you want to accomplish in spring football?
I think, you know, from a, I guess, receiver group, you know, we're getting the playbook down, you know, all the things that Coach Enos has brought in. You know, just playing fast, learning the offense. For myself, you know, just getting the hang of it, you know, how we practice at Miami, how we, you know, how things are ran practice-wise. I've seen, like, you know, obviously now the off-season stuff and the lifting now is about, you know, practice again, like how Miami does things first and foremost. And then, like I said, getting the offense down, you know, performing well, practicing well. And then just playing, you know, how Miami is supposed to play. Bringing, like what Coach Diaz always talk about, TNM, the new Miami. Playing, you know, confident, fast, toughness, effort, all those type of things. And just showing hard work and practice, you know, that's how it'll pay off in the game.
What do you think, maybe you can give us a little sneak peek of what the offense will look like with Coach Enos?
Right, well, what Coach Enos always says is we're going to be multiple. That's what it is, really. Just multiple, just doing a lot of different things. Whether it's different personnels and packages and all these different things, shifts and motions and all these different things, but just multiple, like we're going to be able to do a lot of different things. We got a lot of weapons. Obviously, a lot of good guys in the receiver room. We got, you know, good running backs, good tight ends, a good offensive line. And, you know, with the quarterback thing, whoever it'll shake out to be, is going to be good. And, you know, with a guy like Coach Enos, from the first walkthrough, that guy's a genius. That's why I'm like, man, this guy is very smart, very detailed, and I love that. So, yeah, that's what it's going to be, just doing a lot of different things.
Fans love watching motion in football today. That was a kind of a big point of emphasis last year. And, you know, it's not nothing new. You can go back years and years. The great Bill Walsh, remember, you know Bill Walsh's 49ers coach?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm dating myself. you know Jerry Rice's, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So he always put Jerry Rice in motion because he said, you just got to get him easy access into the secondary.
Right, right.
I can kind of see that for you at the University of Miami.
Yes, sir. I mean, that would be great. You know, whatever my role is, that's what I'm going to do. I was able to do that a little bit at Buffalo, you know, playing the slot, playing on the outside, you know, in the return game. So whatever they need me to do. But that would be pretty cool, yeah.
You've caught a lot of passes.
Yes, sir.
And that has to transfer over, right? I mean, you're going to go from Buffalo here, but nonetheless, it's still the hands, the eyes, the coordination,
right.
Good hands. You've caught a lot of passes in your career.
Yes, sir, yeah. I'm not really worried about, you know, like the I guess, competition level. I mean, for me, you know, if you can play football, you can play football. But I am excited, though, to be able to go against these guys, you know, like Trajan, Blaze, DJ, you know, in our secondary, Amari. You know, I'm excited to go against these guys every day at practice. From the old guys, you know, in the MAC, they're a little bit bigger. They're a little bit like – most guys are a little bit smaller than me, but they're, like, taller than me or, like, at my same size. So I'm excited for that in practice, you know. And so I'm not really worried about that because I know those guys are getting me ready.
All right, how about the quarterbacks? That's going to be – all eyes will be on the quarterbacks during the spring.
Right.
What have you seen from the quarterbacks in terms of how they've been working?
Oh, they all been working. I see that they're very close. You know, it's not like, you know, like it's like a, you know, awkward type of feel. Like they're very close. You know, they help each other out. I've been hanging out with Tate a lot. You know, off the field. I've thrown with all of them. I've thrown with Jaren. I've thrown with Cozy. I've thrown with Tate. You know, they're all, you know, very talented guys. They all work hard. They're all in their playbook. So yeah, I guess it's just. I mean, we have to see what happens on the field. But they've all been working tremendously hard. All of them getting extra work. Very smart. And I'm ready to see it as well.
Coach Cooney is right there to your left shoulder.
Yeah.
I always tell him the story that back in 1987, between 86 and 87, Miami had to transition between quarterbacks. Maybe Testaverde left. Steve Walsh came in. Mike Lervin was still here. Mike Irvin told Steve Walsh, at least the legend goes, hey, we need to run every play in the playbook from each hash mark in the offseason so we can get together with, you know, be in sync.
Right.
And then Coach Cooney looked at me and said, well, what happened? I said, well, in the national championship game against Oklahoma, Steve Walsh threw the game-winning touchdown to Mike Irvin.
Right.
So you have to have that kind of extra work, right?
Right, yeah, absolutely. All the time. I mean, that's really all I know. Just extra work, you know, time off the field, you know, everybody around the whole country, you know, is doing walkthroughs, meetings, lifting, running. So, I mean, that makes you equal. That makes you average. That doesn't make you great. To make you great, you know, and get those, you know, like you were talking about, those key moments, that takes repetition. And then, like I said, when it comes to game time, it's like second nature.
All right, before we let you go, the new Miami, Coach Diaz, what's that been like for you?
Oh, it's been great.
What's he been like?
Yeah, it's been great. He has so much energy. Ever since, you know, when I was first getting recruited by Miami, you know, all the things on social media. And then, you know, I think I was one of the first guys to kind of commit and then it started rolling more and more and more. You know, and I see that I love the way the fans took off with it. And, you know, Miami, like I said, the new Miami, you know, just creating and continuing the culture. And again, like I said, the fans is running off with it. That's one thing I'm really impressed with is the fans. Like I like that. You know, that's new to me, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I love it. I love Coach Diaz's energy. You know, he wants us to be great. He pushes us every day as far as along with our weight room coaches and things like that. But you know, he's definitely holding us to a standard. He set the expectation high every day. We know it's going to be like that. And, That's how we're gonna run it, and, you know, under him.
Yeah, a lot of playmakers around too, right? Whether it's you or Revan Jordan, Jeremiah Payton coming in,
right,
or DJ Dallas. You got a lot of different playmakers.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That's great. The more guys we can get, you know, like I said, you know, learning the offense, learning what to do, and with Coach Enos, you know, we can use all those guys. Still got, you know, like you said, Jeff Thomas and Mike and Wiggs and Hightower. I mean, there's so many weapons, and they're all so young. And, you know, when they even start becoming even more like the players that they're going to be, it's going to be really great. And like you said, when everybody starts knowing everything and Coach can just throw us all out there, you know, it should be special. It should be real fun to watch.
I know this much for you. Probably pretty nice to go to class in shorts and a T-shirt and walk around a lake, right?
Oh, yeah. I love that. I've been trying to get back to Florida, you know, ever since I left IMG. So, you know, I love it and I cherish it every day. These guys, when it gets 50 or 60, they're talking about it's cold. And I'm like, y'all don't know cold.
They have no idea.
Right. Yeah. Even when they say, they just say we just got done with the winter session, I kind of laugh like, this ain't winter.
Great to have you here. Great to have you as part of the University of Miami.
Yes, sir.
Best of luck this year. We look forward to watching you in the spring.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. That's a new University of Miami wide receiver. Very impressive. KJ Osborne joining us. And KJ did a great job. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk with David Cooney, and Annie Vaughn will be joining us next. We've got Director of Recruiting and Director of Player Personnel coming up. But first, let me talk to you about Williamson Cadillac, the simple pleasures in life, right? Walk around campus, and there's a lake in the middle of campus, simple pleasure. The grass is cut in the spring, simple pleasure in life. Get through a nice green light, simple pleasure in life, right? How about driving a Williamson Cadillac? That's more than a simple pleasure. Not only is it a simple pleasure, it's a luxury. And you can have both because Williamson Cadillac has been a part of Miami's unique community for over 50 years. And you can experience the new generation of Cadillac like the new 2019 Cadillac Escalade, the XT5, the CT6, and the first ever 2019 Cadillac XT4 in stock and ready for delivery right now. I'm driving the XT4, and I'm telling you, it is as smooth and quiet of a drive that you could have anywhere, anytime. And you know, navigating the streets of South Florida is not always easy, but it's a heck of a lot easier when you're in an XT4 when it comes from Williamson Cadillac. You can visit their state-of-the-art facility conveniently located at US 1 and 104th Street just south of the Palmetto Expressway, or view their entire inventory online at WilliamsonCadillac.com. Williamson Cadillac, your premier luxury dealership. Williamson is Miami. Football does start this week, and joining us now is Director of Recruiting, David Cooney, and Director of Player Personnel, Andy Vaughn. Andy is the new guy, so we'll talk with Andy first. David's got a big smile. Andy, welcome to Miami.
I appreciate that very much. I'm excited to be here. That's an understatement. So,
yeah. Why was this, same question I asked KJ, but for you, why was this the right move?
I think it's pretty simple. You know, the relationship I have with Coach Diaz goes back, since my first job in Middle Tennessee State. He's a special guy back then, and he's just going to be a special head coach, I believe. So he's the main reason I'm here. The other reason is you don't get an opportunity to work in many places that have won multiple national championships like the University of Miami. So that's in itself a special opportunity as well. So those two things combined just made it a perfect fit to come down here and help Coach Diaz get this thing back going the way it needs to be going and, realize all the expectations and goals he has set out for the program. So,
Coach Cooney, congratulations.
Thank you.
You've
thank
worked
you.
Very hard, and we've had lots of conversations, and well-deserved for you. What's it going to be like for you now in this new role?
I love it. I mean, I just have a recruiting background, being in high school football down here and in Miami is kind of it's a breeding ground for it. But I love the direction that we're going in and just being able to be a part of it is amazing.
How do you guys or how will you guys work together? Maybe you guys can break down a little bit the relationship and how that's going to work.
Yeah, I think Coach Diaz has a clear vision of what he wants to do with the program as far as this part of the department's going to be. As David can talk to you about, relationships is huge in recruiting. That's what recruiting is relationships. So we've kind of broken it down, and David's going to head up the relationship part of it. He's going to do an excellent job with that. He's obviously got a great history down here. DVD is going to also be there with him helping. So I think that's going to be huge for us, just those inroads in South Florida and just that constant communication. I'm just going to be on the opposite side, overseeing everything, make sure our processes are all sound, that we're doing everything we can and uncovering every stone we can to make sure that we're on the right guys, that we're finding the right guys, that we're communicating in the most effective ways we can, and that essentially we're setting the coaches up for the best success they can have out on the road recruiting when they're actually in those evaluation periods and contact periods, going out seeing these guys and going to the high school. So,
yeah, I firmly agree with Andy. I think his knowledge of the roadmap, so to speak, of how to get guys to get the coaches out in the best ways possible. Just being a part of the acquisition process myself, just helping with the relationships and knowing the coaching dynamic down here in South Florida is huge. Going to be a real big help. Moving forward with the program, and I think that's kind of, something that Coach Diaz wants to harp on, attacking the Tri-County and on up through the state of Florida, just really kind of putting our thumbprint on the state is going to be huge moving forward.
Recruiting is the lifeblood of any organization, whether it's in business or in college football, in particular college football. Andy, maybe take us through also Coach Diaz and the coaches, the vision they have in terms of the evaluation. How will that work? Will you guys sit in the conference room on days and break down video? How does all that – is it like the NFL draft now where everybody's got input on a guy they want to fight for him? How does that go?
Yeah, I mean, it is similar in some ways. Now that the NCAA has allowed, personnel departments and recruiting departments to kind of fill out and thrive now. So we have an intimate, involvement in that process, making sure that we've got film, we have the film that the coaches want to see. Some of them like to watch it in different ways so that it's cut up the right way and then it's in the system where they can access it at any time from the office or from home. Coach Diaz said this in a staff meeting today, recruiting never stops, and it doesn't. Whether it's finding the right guys, whether it's evaluating the right guys, or whether it's communicating with those guys, it's a 24/7, 365 process. So for us, it's just making sure that the coaches have every bit of information at their fingertips to make a decision on a guy. We want our guys to have guys in their room and coach guys that they love and they're excited about, that fit Coach Diaz's vision for the program, fit the profile of this university, but our coaches are excited about having in their room and that they love. And the only way to do that is not for us to tell them what to do, but to find the right guys, make sure these coaches have the information, like I said, at their fingertips, where they know the heights, weights, speeds. They know what the kid likes to eat for breakfast. They know what his favorite meal is that his mom cooks, and so that we have every bit of information so that we can develop a game plan to go after these guys and recruit them to the University of Miami. So,
yeah, just kind of like bouncing off of Andy's, you know, we've kind of been, you know, since Andy's gotten here, it's been a great, I think, a great acquisition, just being, you know, being able to kind of pull on his brain of, you know, some of the things that he's been successful with, and, you know, just kind of add my own little feel to it. And I think, you know, just like he said, we got to find Miami guys. We got to find guys that fit not just our style of play, but that will fit into that locker room. You know, and too many times, you know, you can get a kid and you think he's the right fit, and he's not. And, you know, and then you see, you know, the portal. You know, the things start to happen where kids want to transfer in and transfer out. And that's, you know, we want to actually be able to get to those kids and build relationships with them throughout the process early, so that now once we present those kids to the coaches, you know, we can actually give them viable information to help them to kind of flourish in those relationships. So I think with us, you know, kind of Andy identifying it and us kind of building those relationships, we're going to work hand in hand. I think it's going to be amazing moving forward.
Because I think the biggest thing is, you know, the stars and the rankings, you know, they mean something. But for that staff and Coach Diaz, you know, the biggest indicator is the evaluation in the building. So he wants to make sure that we're very thorough in that process. And like David said, that we get the right kind of guy to fit this program. So.
You bring up the right kind of guy, and you use the word profile. And that kind of gets me to this question. For the University of Miami, some people do recruit to a profile. They recruit to a certain size and won't come off of that no matter what, according to position. At Virginia Tech, for the longest time, I swear, Cam Chancellor played safety for 15 years. It's just the name changed, but the profile was the same. Does that matter? Is it a profile of height and size for certain positions, or does a profile become more of personality for Miami?
I think it's a combination of all those things. You know, we start off and we're building that profile right now with this new staff, since there's so many new faces. You know, we're building those size ideals, those character traits that our coaches want to see in their room. And that's really just a starting point for us. It helps us, you know, kind of funnel the right guys into the basket that we need to evaluate. So it's really a starting point, but it's not an absolute truth. You see this all over. You know, see guys in the NFL that weren't highly recruited, they wind up being great players. So, you know, the film never lies. If a guy produces on the field, maybe he's a little shorter, maybe he's in it, you know, a little bit slower. But if the guy plays and he fits this system and his attitude and everything about him fits the culture of Coach Diaz's program, then we'll take chances on those guys if they're playmakers. You know, it's not a thing where we're going to, you know, it's a cookie cutter thing and we're going to get this guy no matter what, you know, if he's a right height and right speed. But, you know, in the end, does he make plays? Is he going to be productive and help us win? That's what we're ultimately looking for. So,
David, you are familiar with some of the new guys that will be in spring football starting this week, tomorrow. Some of the new receivers, KJ Osborne was here with us earlier. What kind of impact do you think some of the new players can have for you?
I think this is going to bring a new energy, you know, change, you know, the total change that we've seen over the past few months is you know, it's going to kind of, you know, you'll see it, you know, and I think those new guys kind of bringing that new excitement that, you know, that want, you know, those guys that we've brought in, just seeing their work ethic, seeing how they've gelled with the players that are already currently on the roster, I think, you know, just overall, just seeing how they've been able to kind of like mesh and gel and get together, I think that's going to be amazing. I mean, just seeing, you know, how each room has periodically just, you know, just grown and matured, you know, over the past few months, I think, you know, it's got me excited just because, you know, I've been here the last 3 years and kind of seen, you know, some of the things in those rooms, some of the guys in those rooms kind of graduate, some of the guys left early and done those things. But I think with the new guys that we've got coming in, like the KJ Osbornes and, you know, Tate and some of these other guys, you know, Tommy Kennedy and you know, Asa Martin, kind of just bring a little jolt to those rooms, I think it's going to be great for the program. I think you know, it's going to help us, you know, depth-wise and you know, just kind of help us in little spots. I think we're going to be rolling.
Andy, what are you most looking forward to in spring football?
I think just seeing Coach Diaz put his stamp on the program. I haven't been here but maybe a week before spring break, but just knowing how he is and watching him operate in that 1 week, just the energy, excitement that he brings to the program, the way he communicates with the staff and with those guys, I think it's going to be fun to see his stamp on this program, and that starts tomorrow with spring ball. You know, Miami kind of, you know, people talk about the flash and the pizzazz and the lights and all that stuff and the excitement, and it's here, But the big thing for him is going to be the hard work. You know, the guys pushing themselves further than they think they can push themselves. And I think he can get that out of those guys. It's going to be fun to see. I think those kids believe in him, and it's going to be fun to watch those guys just perform tomorrow. You know, it's kind of leading up to it. It's just kind of been building, and I think tomorrow is just going to be an awesome opportunity to step on that field for the first time with him as a head coach and just be here again as part of this great program. So,
welcome to Miami. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited.
Coach Cooney, great job. Thank you. Congratulations.
It. Thanks. Thanks for everything.
By the way, good luck on evaluating those 8th and 9th graders. That's the toughest part of the job.
Hey, recruiting never stops.
That's all right.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely.
All right. That's David Cooney joining us along with Andy Vaughn. And we'll continue on our show. Katie Meyer joins us next right here on the Hurricane Hotline.
QAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Canes, Joe Zagacki.
Happy to have you back with us, everybody. We're at the Rapsdeller on campus at the University of Miami. And everybody's in a celebratory mood as the University of Miami women's basketball team is dancing again. The NCAA tournament, joining us now, head coach Katie Meyer. And we're here under unusual circumstances, not because we didn't want to be here to celebrate with you, but they let the cat out of the bag, ESPN did, about 2.5 hours ago.
Right.
So it was like, surprise, oops, we didn't mean it. They threw the confetti and everything.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, first of all, I appreciate you guys running the show live from here, too. That just shows tremendous support for our program, and it means a lot to me and to this community. So I appreciate that. And on behalf of ESPN, I apologize to you for this is crazy. But it happens, and the news is good. At least it was a good news day with a mistake happening, right?
Okay, so we know who you're going to play,
yes,
when and where and all that stuff, so we might as well talk about it. The number one seeds in the tournament, by the way, are Notre Dame, Louisville, Mississippi State, and Baylor. And you beat two of the number ones in
right.
Louisville and Notre Dame. We'll get to that in a moment. At the Watsco Center on Friday at 7 o'clock is UCF and Arizona State. You will play the nightcap game at 9 o'clock, probably more like 9:30.
Yeah, right.
Miami and Florida Gulf Coast, how do you feel about the matchups?
Right. Well, you know, I shouldn't even know it yet. So no. It was interesting because we were sort of expecting Florida Gulf Coast. We figured if we hosted that they would send us Gulf Coast. And then when UCF was in that final reveal last night, or the bottom eight, we got an inclination that they'd probably be sent here too. So then it was just a matter of what would our seeding be. You know, would Florida Gulf Coast play UCF or would they give us Gulf Coast? And then I had UCLA as our fourth if we hosted. That was my guess. Or Arizona State. Mm-hmm. So we were pretty on it. So we're pretty prepared. It was one of those deals where we had a lot of time off. You could kind of work through seeding. I thought this would be a 3-6 kind of quad pod, but we got a 4 seed, I think, procedurally. I think we earned a 3 and they bumped us to a 4. So that some other balance could work out throughout the brackets.
Your matchup's going to be Florida Gulf Coast. They score a lot of points. So
they do.
And you score a lot of points.
We do.
It should be a very exciting matchup.
Yeah.
And you played them a couple of years ago.
Right.
And it was a hell of a game.
A heck of a game. Yeah. And they're a tough match. You know, when you're riding bigs like we are, you know, and we are, they're going to be worried about our size, and we're going to be worried about their three-point shot. And, you know, 3 is more than 2, so I know what they're going to do. I understand what their philosophy will be. We have to control the game, and we have to really, really make sure that they get one shot every time that they shoot, because the long shots are long rebounds, and that can be an opportunity for you too. So, but they're a fantastic program, so well coached. I mean, and we knew. I wrote Carl, about a month ago. I said, oh, boy. Yeah, we're going till we meet again type deal, because he congratulated us on the Louisville win. So great, great coach, great program, great fan base. I mean, I think what's going to be great is the Watsco is going to be rocking. Mm-hmm. Central Florida will bring a good crowd. Will bring a great crowd. Gulf Coast will bring a crowd. So it'll be a great environment.
You're 24-8. They're 28-4. Arizona State and UCF. That matchup's going to be a defensive matchup.
Yes, it will be. I'm telling you what, those two teams hang their hat on defense, and they are difficult teams to beat. So it's a very tough little mini tournament. You know, it's 2 games, and we got to play great on Friday and hope, survive in advance, that we have an opportunity on Sunday as well. But, you know, with this Gulf Coast draw, it's a wild card. It's something that we've proven that we struggle with sometimes, which is their ability to hit more than 10 threes a game.
You beat Notre Dame, you beat Louisville, 2 number one seeds.
Yes, we did.
What does that do for you going into the tournament?
I mean, you know, if you're looking for a bracket buster, somebody that you could march through, and I think people will think about us, you know, because we've proven that we can beat number ones, and we beat, you know, the number two, number one, the number four, number one. We played the threes. We've beaten the three. I mean, we have a very solid resume. Iowa State, we lost to, but we played them. They're three. So everyone we played this year is in the tournament, it feels like. You know, so we're very, very seasoned. But we have a good spirit. We have a good blend of experience and youth. And we got a good spirit, great team chemistry. Had a blast with my team today in practice. You know, it's our last day to just work on Miami, and we did. So we're in good spot. And I'm really, really grateful to be playing at home.
And you do have a fun team.
They're great. They're
right?
so much
you
fun.
You really have. I mean, if somebody has not come down and seen your team play, and I would extend it even this way. If you are a mom or a dad and you want to see, and you've got a daughter playing or a son,
right.
and you want to see a team play with joy and camaraderie,
right.
watch your team and watch Amesa Hoff.
I know, right? I know. And it's just like I feel very blessed. I feel like, let's just say, like every day is my birthday when I get to see them. It's just exciting to show up every day in practice and have a little celebration just because we're seeing each other again. And they bring me great joy. They work their tails off. We learn from our losses, which I think is crucial. You know, those are the best film moments. They don't hide from the truth, and they seek the truth in criticism. You know, when something's wrong, they're like, okay, help me fix it. They're not running from it, and I just love them for it. So they're a lot of fun. I think we should be ready to go on Friday.
You have a couple of weapons in this tournament that you haven't had in the past, like Beatrice Montpremier.
Couple.
Yeah. Laura Cornelius.
Yeah.
The way Amesa Hoff is playing, I know you had her, but it's almost like a different player.
Right.
Kayla Prather.
Yep.
So you've got a couple of different weapons.
It has been. That's what I'm saying. So everyone's like, you got great experience, but we didn't play together last year. You know, so it is kind of, there is that excitement too, where it's our first go around. I'm asking them to over communicate this last week. Just, you know, don't assume that you know what your teammate's going to do. Just tell them. Just talk each other through, because there will be a lot of external pressure on us. There will be a lot of external pressure. Playing at home is a great gift, but it adds pressure to them. Every shot they missed today in practice, they were like, oh my gosh. I'm like, you know what? If we're good, you'll miss half of them. So calm down. You know, if we're really playing well, you're going to miss half your shots. So it's not the miss. It's your reaction to the miss that I'm worried about right now. And, you know, even if we miss 6 out of 10, we can still win. So calm down. You guys are great. I believe in you. You know, stay the course. And because they just want it so bad.
You have become a mainstay in the tournament.
Isn't that
right?
Great? Yeah.
Hosted two of the last 3 years. Five straight years?
Yeah,
tournament?
Five. Kayla Prather is now the first athlete at the University of Miami that had gone to five. Five.
It's remarkable NCAAs. What you've been able to achieve here.
It is.
Congratulations
it is.
On
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but it's time to go next level, and I think this is the team to do it. I do, you know, but it's always about the draw, and this is a tough draw for us. It's a scary draw, you know, and there's a weapon that we have to prove that we can stop, which is that three-point shot.
Did you get annoy somebody again at the NCAA? Because if you win again, again, you're going west. Every year, you go west. I mean, when
know.
They say go west, young man, they've been. So if you win, you go to Portland.
No, the altitude.
I should say when you win.
West and high at the altitude. Yeah. You know, it's something.
You've been to it. To Gonzaga?
Yeah.
Stanford?
Yes, we have. Yeah, we've been shipped. But you know what? We're in, and I'll tell you what. I'll take our, you know. We're going to Portland, but Oregon, I mean, if we – our pod goes to Portland, but, you know, doesn't come out playing Oregon. So the three – that three pod with Syracuse, their pod, when they come out, they're going to be playing on Oregon's basically home court, whereas Mississippi State's the number one in the region. So that's a tough draw for a three to get the two in Oregon, and that's what happened to Syracuse, their pod.
If you close your eyes, can you visualize what can happen for this program in the next – 3 to 4 weeks?
Yeah, if you do that, though, you know, it's just like I know I have a job now. I have an opponent, and I'm really excited to get to – and I always learn a lot when we play Florida Gulf Coast. We've played them in the NIT as well. You know, we've played them postseason twice since I've been here, and you learn a lot. It's a completely different brand. It will be a stylistic win. You know, whichever style wins, that team's going to win. So we have to impose our style and make sure that we're stubborn about what our strengths are.
So an identity game, right?
It is. It completely is, yep. And, I mean – yes, Beatrice and Amesa are going to get the ball, and I know Florida Gulf Coast will double them, and I know they will make them guard on the three-point line. We know what's coming, so it's just going to be a matter of how stubborn are you.
Beatrice has been a game-changing player for you all year, program-changing. going into the tournament with her. What will your message be? I'm sure she's awfully excited to be a part of this.
She is, and I think she has to take a ton of credit. Part of Beatrice's mentality is a little bit just – she's got a little edge to her. She's not afraid to confront, you know, and I know that comes from playing at Baylor, you know, and they're number one this year. You know, she left a great, great program to come back home, but she brought a lot of that with her, and it's helped me as a coach. It's helped me – she's helped me reinforce when it's time to say, you know, cut it, ladies, like, okay, you know, we can hug and everything, but it's time to bear down and win. Beatrice brings that real strong personality to the huddle, and they really respond to her. She's really, really been very impactful, not just her points and her rebounds, but her personality.
What do you think will be some of the keys for you to make it through this weekend?
Yeah. Did I mention that we have to guard the three-point shot?
Yes, you did.
I did. Yeah. I mentioned that, and get those long rebounds.
You mentioned definitely guard the three-point line.
Yeah, right? You know, and then we're going to have to, you know, people are going to have to turn Miami over to beat us. So we have to be real great about possession awareness and taking care of the ball and making sure that, you know what, if we go down the court and we miss three shots but we rebound all of them and put it back in, to me, that's 100%. That's one trip down the court. Now, it doesn't come out that way when you do the stats. You're shooting 33%. Oh, my God. But if we can, when we cross half court, at the end of whatever happens, Miami gets a basket, that's 100% to me. And that's our mentality that we have to be, is like, just keep grinding, keep working, hit the glass, and see what we can get out of our real possession efficiency.
And playing at home, that's got to be a big thrill.
It is a big thrill. You know, and it's great for us. It's harder for the other teams. We know that. So as good as it is for us, it's also harder. But in reality, I mean, UCF and Florida Gulf Coast are probably celebrating tonight, too, because they're staying in state. Mm-hmm. You know, when we get shipped somewhere, we don't get to stay in state.
No.
They send us far, but those programs got a gift tonight as well. I mean, they are really happy to be able to drive to their NCAA game.
You know, it reminds me of a little bit, and this is how you built your program.
Yeah.
And I'm old, so I can go back.
Right.
University of Miami baseball was built on hosting regionals.
Right.
But they didn't always host at the beginning.
Right.
You know, they went to the World Series in 1974 under Coach Frazier.
Yeah.
It was 3 years later that he said, hey, this would be a great idea if we host, because they had to put in bids.
Right.
But once they started hosting those regionals, Miami baseball, maybe they would have gone to the World Series every year anyway.
Right.
But the impact locally was, I think, because they hosted the regionals and they kept hosting them and hosting them. And, you know, now we've got the tradition and legacy in baseball, and that's where you're on your way in women's basketball.
Right, but and you know, we did a fantastic job of hosting 2 years ago. We didn't win the last game, but the event, I mean, the other teams were writing me handwritten notes thanking me, like I had anything to do with it. It's all our administration, but you know you are classy. We have a classy athletic department, great community support. Everybody in the athletic department volunteered, and that feeling, and they were like, welcome and thank you and all that. And you know, we're very excited. We're a great university, but we have a humility where we really appreciate other people, and we want to make sure they have a good experience too. So that has to help when they're talking about should we host in Miami. I mean, we did a fantastic job. So we need to do it again. We need to sell out the Watsco Center.
I'm going to go downstairs and see if I can find anybody and say, hey, I'll bet you Miami's playing UCF.
Yeah, right.
You,
there might be a couple people
who
don't know.
Don't know.
Let's try to find one.
Well, your team is giddy, so that's great.
I don't want – they deserve to celebrate. It's a shame that they lost their big moment. But we're going to celebrate today because they deserve it. I'm so proud of them.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Yep. Hurricanes women's basketball coach Katie Meyer back with hour number two of the Hotline right after this.
True.
Right?
It's – yeah. It's you knew you were get dealt.
You knew you were in the tournament anyway.
Exactly.
Right?
A couple of times today I found out.
Yeah.
So.
Mesa Hoff is with us. This is what I want to ask you first. I've been doing games a lot of years. I don't know that I've ever seen anyone, and I spotted this a couple of years ago, play the game with more joy than you. No matter what, you've always got a smile. How and why did you how did you learn to play with such great joy, and why do you play that way?
I think I've always played with that not that much pressure. So I always just enjoyed playing because I wasn't that good in the beginning. So I just loved playing basketball, and I just did whatever I wanted because no one really cared what I did anyway. So that kind of evolved into just me really enjoying to play basketball. And when it goes well, I smile because it's fun. But if it doesn't go well, I kind of also have this default mechanism that I still smile to cover it up. So it just looks like I'm happy all the time. Sometimes I'm just try to cover my mistakes, but yeah, it's just a great sport, basketball. So.
But you enjoy the competition.
Yes, right? Definitely.
You enjoy the games. You enjoy the practices. You enjoy everything about it. The travel, I think, the whole experience, right?
Yeah, the experience has been great, and yeah, it's just so much fun to be with your friends and like sisters, we call it now, and like to be on the road and to be practicing for something so big, and to then like perform well or like have a great game or like beat Notre Dame at home, like that's just awesome. And
well, when you look at the tournament, you've beaten two number ones, Louisville and Notre Dame.
Yeah,
what does that mean to you?
I think we have some confidence from that, but it doesn't mean anything anymore. Like, it's NCAA, it's March Madness. Everyone basically starts at one again. Like, okay, you have the seeding. Doesn't mean that much. So I'm glad we're hosting and we're at home. It starts over now. So everyone has zero wins in the NCAA tournament right now.
Here's the good news. Quinnipiac is not here. And you're not going to see them for a while, but maybe in Portland.
I know. I saw that they're playing South Dakota, our other haunting dream.
Right.
So that's an interesting matchup. I'm curious to see that one.
You've had an amazing season. Umpteen double-doubles every night, double figures in rebounds. Can you discuss a little bit the impact you've had on your team this year?
I think this year, with Beatrice also coming in, like I've more accepted the role of being a go-to player, and in that sense, like scoring more and contributing more. There's nothing to hide behind anymore. Like this is my senior year, and this is all I got. So it's been exciting, and the team really works that way. Like we have great quick guards, and we got tall posts. So I think it's been working.
How about the way that you and Beatrice have teamed up this year? I mean, it's been magic to watch, but maybe for some it wouldn't have been as easy, but you guys seem to gel and get along and understand each other's games.
Yeah, definitely didn't go that smooth in the beginning. We had to get used to each other and find out how the other person moves, but we're both very competitive, and I learned a lot from her, and yeah, playing with her, like, it's great. Did it take me away? Gets open and the other way around. So, I think we really help each other out.
You've played with Laura Cornelius for a long time, right?
Yeah.
And what's that been like for you?
That's just been awesome.
How far back do you guys go?
When I was 14, so that's 8 years ago.
Really?
Wow. We've been playing and basically living next to each other for 8 years now. So we know each other pretty well, and that on the court too. Like we know where the other person's going to be or what they want to do. So that works out pretty good.
You saw Laura talk to the team earlier. I mean, to the fans here, and she takes on a little bit of a leadership role. Last year when she was injured, she was trying to get involved as much as she can. What's she like during the course of the heat of the battle?
The same. She's just a natural leader. So anywhere she goes, like, we'll follow. And it's just great to have, like, someone with that, like, natural leadership. And just, like, everyone trusts her. No one questions it. And, wherever she go, we go. So it's great to have her in that role on the team.
What do you think of your matchup, Florida Gulf Coast?
I think it's still going to be a tough matchup. We've not struggled, but like for us, it's a challenge for me and Beatrice to guard people on the perimeter. So we have to step that up. But on the other end of the court, that's going to be our advantage too. So it must be good, but I'm very confident.
How about playing at home? What kind of advantage do you think that's going to give you?
Definitely like the advantage of not having to travel, mm-hmm. which is awesome. And we have our home fans and people can watch it here, so that's awesome.
How about the way, and you've been here for 4 years, the way women's basketball has grown under Katie, on Katie Meyer's watch, and while you've been here, from the time you were a freshman to what you've witnessed this year?
I think it it's really grown. It's hard to see it kind of when you're in it. But the fans are very consistent, and it kept growing kind of. And we've just we have had a great year. We had the hosting 2 years ago, and now hosting again, which is awesome. And we hope to make a good run.
Katie said a couple of weeks ago, it was senior night, she said when it was time to honor you, she wasn't sure if she was going to get through it. What was senior night like for you, and what's it been like playing for her?
It's been the best. She's just an awesome coach and a very lovely human, and we have a very special bond. But I think I've learned a lot. She has a very high basketball IQ, so that it's just awesome to play under her. And it's been a great 4 years. I kind of don't want to talk about that yet,
I know you still have a lot of time. Yeah, you got a new season starting now.
Yes.
I mean, right now, playing for a championship, right?
Yes.
This is what it's for. You're in the championship hunt.
Yeah, that's it. You're six games.
What do you think would be the key for you to beat Florida Gulf Coast? You mentioned trying to defend them. Katie talked about the three-point shot. What are some of the other things you think are going to be important for your team, your identity?
Yeah, I think we have to play our game. If we're all on the same page and we play our best game of the year, because that's always the goal, to play the best game of your season yet, and that's going to be tall post touches inside and also our shooters outside and driving guards. And I think if everyone's on the same page and we're hustling and every loose ball is ours, that will be good.
Very good. Thank you for joining us. Go celebrate with your team.
Thank you.
All right, that's Amesa Hoff joining us here on the Hurricane Hotline. Hurricanes will play Friday night at 9 o'clock. There were some rumors that maybe it was going to be 5 o'clock, but now it's 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock for sure. Hurricanes will play Florida Gulf Coast. The 7 o'clock game will be UCF and Arizona State. Blake James is hopefully going to be able to join us here tonight as well, we think. And so we'll continue on the Hurricane Hotline right after this.
This is Hurricane Hotline on AM 560 and 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, back to Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Canes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back to the show. As we come to you from Rapsgeller on campus at the University of Miami. University of Miami women's basketball team going to the NCAA tournament. And tonight was the watch party, the reveal show. Except as I was on the Palmetto Expressway about 4:15, I got a message that said ESPN has already revealed the bracket. At any rate, the players are here. They've had a good time. University of Miami Athletic Director Blake James is with us. And you're going to host for the second time in 3 years. So whether or not ESPN botched that part of it, nonetheless, big day for your basketball, your women's basketball program.
An exciting day for the program. And obviously, the reveal of the bracket didn't play out as anyone would want it. Obviously, I don't think ESPN planned to do it that way. But great credit to the outstanding job Kate has done in leading this program and the job that our students have done in going out and executing all year long and earning this opportunity. And so it's a real tribute to where our women's basketball program's at, that, as you said, the second time in 3 years, and hopefully we can come out of here and advance on to the Sweet 16 after this weekend.
What do you think hosting a women's basketball regional tournament, what kind of impact can it have on the future for women's basketball here for Coach Meyer?
Well, I think Miami is a city that we all know loves a winner. And what Katie's done is really established our women's basketball program as a winning program. What they've missed is that one thing to put them over the top. And I think this is something that can do that, where there's a lot of media exposure this week around the NCAA tournament. We're going to get great media coverage of hosting the first round. Next week, it kicks up to a whole different level. When you get down to the Sweet 16, as we've seen with the men, you know, a couple times that they've had that opportunity to do that, it's something that just takes it to a different level. And obviously, if you're ever blessed enough to get to the Final Four, it's a whole new level. And so I think we're continuing to build it. Our fan base gets stronger and stronger every year, as you were telling me earlier, as I was at another event and just got here. We had a great crowd out here today. And again, I think that's credit to what Kate is building with our women's basketball program and the following that they have. Us winning this weekend I think only further strengthens that support. With that said, we have a great group, and if things don't work out well this weekend, I know everyone will be looking forward to next year.
They beat two number one seeds. There's no other team in the NCAA tournament that has two wins over number one seeds. It's an incredible accomplishment what Katie Meyer has done this year.
No, it is. And, you know, the neat thing about it, Joe, is now we're every one of the teams is 0-0, yeah. And we get to see what we get to do from here, and hopefully knock off a couple more number one seeds and go on to win a national championship.
I think the University of Miami has only been in the Sweet 16 one time in women's basketball, so I do think, again, as you mentioned, the media coverage, and I think they get to the Sweet 16, you know, really see things ramped up for them, especially locally.
No, I really do. I you know, I believe that. Again, we get great media coverage, and so I don't want to take away from the media the coverage that we get. I think the media coverage just gets all the more, or the fan base gets all the more excited about the media coverage that we get when the team has success. And so, you know, we're appreciative of all the support we get throughout the year from the Miami Herald, the Sun Sentinel, everyone who covers us. With that said, success this weekend and then carrying that into next weekend, I think we'll just take it to a different level that we haven't experienced here in a real long time.
I probably should rephrase that and put it this way. You have a very passionate fan base for the University of Miami, and a lot of that is football. But when another sport has success, the brother sports, I guess, you know, men's basketball, baseball, women's basketball, then that passionate fan base, they really do get involved. Maybe not involved all year, but now they will be.
Everyone loves a winner.
Yeah.
And there's no market that plays out more than Miami. I believe that. And, again, there's so many different things going on here. I mean, you look at the Heat. They're making a playoff run right now. The Marlins are getting ready to start another season. You know, obviously our men's basketball team just finished. The Panthers are still going. I mean, the weather's beautiful every day. A lot of different things. The Miami Open, I think, started today, or I think for sure starts this week. So just a lot of things going on down here. And credit to Kate and the great job that she's done with our women's basketball program has really made them a constant in that postseason winning program. And I hope this weekend we can do what we need to do to take care of it and move on to the following weekend and in the Sweet 16.
Portland.
I'd love to be in Portland this time of year.
I've never been to Portland. Football starts this week also, spring football. Yep. So that's going to be back in the news. And Manny Diaz takes the field as head coach, and I know you're very excited about a lot of the different things and that he's done so far, but his entire approach and vision for University of Miami football.
Again, it's hard to believe it hasn't even been 3 months. What Manny's been able to do with our football program in really a small window in the grand scheme of things is just a true credit to the outstanding leader that he is. He communicated a number of things during our interview process that he felt we needed to do in order to take us to another level. And again, as I said, we're only a few months in, but what has me probably as excited about anything is just seeing him take what he has said we need to do and then implementing that into what we do. And, again, that's a credit to him and the team he's assembled around him. And I'm excited to see the guys out there running around tomorrow and in the beautiful Carol Sofer indoor facility. And excited to have spring football here.
You know, I think it's pretty interesting. Maybe I guess I could tell the story, but we had a chance to talk with Coach Diaz. It was the night before the bowl game at Yankee Stadium. And he was talking a little bit about his plan for Temple. And it seemed like he had a very clear, concise plan for Temple. And then, like 48 hours later, he's the head coach of the University of Miami. But his ability to switch from one vision, which was a really good vision for Temple, to a broader vision for Miami.
Very right? Different. Yeah, and again, as he said, you and I were sitting there talking to him as, you know, we had that. And, you know, I've said the great thing about my situation with Manny is really had a 3-year interview. I had 3 years to watch Manny work on the field, work off the field, share his message in the locker room post-game, talk to guys pre-game, you know, just to really be able to observe everything that he does as a head coach. And it's something that gave me all the more confidence when the time came and knowing that we had a very small window to decide if Manny was the right person or not. when while I only had the interview that one day, I'd really had a 3-year window to see him do his work and know that there was no better person to lead our program at this time than Manny Diaz.
I've told you this before, not because I'm sitting here. You've been a great caretaker of this athletic department, and you've been hit with some unique challenges since the day you took the job, which I think was, what, Chicago?
Yeah.
In Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, so it'll be 7 years ago in October.
7 years. So you've had some – it hadn't been easy. Every time it seems like it's smooth, there comes another, no pun intended, alligator in the water. But you have found a way to have, I think, the right answer.
Well, I appreciate that. And, again, it's one of the great things about this job is it's different every day. And it's one of the things that I enjoy is that the challenges are always there, and I think if we are going to be the program we ultimately can be, we have to constantly be pushing to be the very best. And there's so many components that go into making that happen. Obviously, having our great head coach come up here, you know, she's one of them. Katie Meyer was just joining Joe and I here as we talk. But again, Katie's reflective of the group. You know, we talk about Manny, Gino, and great start he's got off in baseball. I was out of tennis yesterday, and you look at what Alosha's done with men's tennis, having not had a win over a top 10 or top 15 team in a long time. I'm not going to make up the year right now, but I know it's been a long time, you know, to Paige and what she's done with women's tennis. And so, again, my point being, Joe, is I got great coaches. Yeah, we have challenges, and I'm going to do everything I can to help our coaches and our students through those challenges and put us in the best position to win ACC and ultimately national championships.
Now, they all have, the coaches you're talking about, inside their program, they're all establishing their own culture for their program, their own identity. Coach L has a specific way of doing business with his team. Katie has a way of doing business with hers. Manny Diaz is establishing that. Gino is establishing his. Paige certainly has had her culture. But then above that, you have to set a culture for the athletic department.
No, we do. Right? And again, it's important that, you know, everyone recognizes we all have scoreboards. It's very easy to tell what Kate's scoreboard looks like or Manny's or Gino's. But as a program, it's important that every single one of us in every area is winning on their scoreboard, because it's I won't say it's impossible, but it's a lot harder for Manny to win on the football field if our people working in facilities or our people working in the business office or the ticket office or whatever it is that touches football aren't doing everything they can to make sure we're achieving at the highest level. And the great, I guess the great benefit that I have is I think we have so many committed people that we really have a group that's aligned in what we want to accomplish as a program. And through that, I think we'll see a lot of great days ahead for anyone who loves Miami Hurricanes.
We haven't mentioned the Gators yet. I mentioned them sort of, but you're going to play that game August 24th. What goes into that now? Because things kind of get backed up, right? Everything gets started a little bit earlier.
Yeah, so again, I think to, you know, really share that story, and I think it's been, you know, somewhat put out there. You know, ESPN and College Football 150 wanted a marquee game to kick off 150 years of college football. And you know, they approached us in Florida about the game, and I talked with Manny about it. And I think Manny's position was the type of guys we want to get to this program want to play on the biggest stage. And when you're the marquee game to celebrate 150 years of college football that's going to have a lot of promotion that's put into it, there's not going to be a bigger stage in the regular season next year than that game to open up. And that's what Manny wants to do with our program. I think that's, at the end of the day, what our fans want. I recognize for some fans it created some issues. For some fans it created an opportunity to go to the game. I you know, I've gotten calls on both, some that are disappointed that we're not on Labor Day weekend because they can no longer go, and some that are very excited we're no longer on Labor Day weekend because they now can go. But it's one where ESPN and College Football 150 wanted us out there, and Florida agreed to it. We agreed to it. The timeline, I would have liked to have it be sooner than it was, but you know, that's reality and working through things sometimes. But we're excited and, again, very pleased that Florida Citrus Sports has been committed to helping any issues as much as they can. Obviously, they don't own the hotels, but helping with hotels and, you know, getting support and, from the airlines on those types of issues. And so we're looking forward to August 24th, and I know our guys will be excited to be out there. I know our fans will be excited to be out there, and I'm excited to see our guys out there against the Gators.
The longest time I heard from lots of people, Hurricane football anytime, anywhere. So that fits their motto.
I will say that was the message I got from Manny.
Right. Probably the message you got when you became athletic director, right?
No, exactly. The same message I've shared with the Gators. Anytime, anywhere, we're happy to play them.
That's true, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you know, obviously, you know, it's excited to have a game with them again. I think everyone knows it's a very storied series and rivalry we have with the University of Florida in the sport of football. And, you know, understanding they have some scheduling challenges with the SEC schedule, but it's one that, you know, I've talked with their athletic director, Scott Strickland, about wanting to be able to do in the future. And again, when I say the future, we're so far out right now, Joe. I think we're looking for one game in 2024, and then we're beyond that. And again, we're done until 2023 right now with the schedule we have. And so scheduling happens so far out. It's hard to know where things are at, but what I do know is the Miami Hurricane fans will be excited to play the Florida Gators, whether it's in 2019 or 2029 or 2039 or whatever the year is. If we can get the Gators on our schedule, I know their fans will be excited about it. I know our fans will be excited about it. In reality, which I think what we see with ESPN and College Football 150, is they know the nation will be excited about it, and that's why we're glad to be on that stage.
Well, I know this much. August is generally a really long month, and August just became really short.
Well, very short for me. I have Ed Reed going in the College Football Hall or the NFL Hall of Fame the first weekend. Shortly after that, I'm going with our men's women's basketball programs to Italy. We get back on Sunday, and the following Saturday, we're opening up in Orlando against the Gators.
I told Coach L I could be the gelato director on that trip.
You know what? I thought I saw him put something out today that we're going to be looking for a gelato director for that trip.
I can't tell you.
So I'll have to remind him that you offered your skills.
Yeah, I've offered my skills on that. It's one of the few skills that I have, by the way. So. It would be my pleasure.
We'll definitely have to keep that in mind.
All right, great. Thank you for joining us, and congratulations.
Appreciate the coverage. Always good to be on with you.
All right, that's University of Miami Athletic Director Blake James. Stay tuned. Larry Bluestein is coming up next. Big weekend for Hurricane Athletics. Got baseball Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Women's basketball Friday, Sunday, and a track meet on Saturday. So lots going on here at the University of Miami. Stay tuned. Old Blue coming up next on 560 WQAM.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.